It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
We are two wild and crazy guys
on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, hour number two of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Having some fun here on a Tuesday. Andy Bull Barch joined alongside Matt Douglas. And in just a second, we're going to return to our Lorain County's first response series, a project of Lorain County's Addis Board. We have a lovely young lady here in studio with us who told me a few moments ago she's going to make 9 pies over the next couple of days. So we'll dive into that here in just a few moments. We mentioned that we're getting back into our Lorain County's first response series, a project of the Lorain County Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP080284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. In studio with us right now, we've got Kim Eberle with Let's Get Real. Kim, thanks for coming in studio. How are you?
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so before we get in to the emergency room warm handoff and the process that goes along with all of that, 9 pies over the next 48 hours?
Are you believing that to be the truth?
Well, that's impressive if it is, I'll say that.
Yes, I am, but I cheat and do not make my own crust any longer.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay, but that's okay. That is unbelievably impressive. If you're making 9 pies over the next 2 days, I think you could skip the process of making your own crust. So for all those out there listening out there, you were telling me earlier you're making all different kinds of pies.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned lemon meringue, pecan, pumpkin. Wow. What else is in the mix?
Dutch apple.
Wow.
Pecan. Did I say pecan?
Well, I did, but, you know, you can say it too. Holy smokes, 9 pies. That is a very, very large undertaking. Well, Kim, let's dive in to what goes on with the emergency room warm handoff. We'll begin by asking, you know, how many call-outs have been done so far year-to-date?
Approximately 429. Year-to-date would be 249.
Okay, so that's quite a few. About how many hospitals are we talking about here? How many hospitals are typically involved?
We have we do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, responses to Mercy Regional Medical in Lorain, Mercy Regional in Oberlin, and Cleveland Clinic in Avon. That's who we serve just now.
Okay. Now, give us an idea as to what a typical call involves and what the CPRS does.
CPRS is a certified peer recovery supporter. They're certified by the state, and they're in recovery themselves. We have about 12 that are signed on with Let's Get Real. Believe it or not, 5 of these individuals do this project themselves, only 5 of them. They do a wonderful job. The call-out will come from a staff member at one of those hospitals that I mentioned, saying we have someone here that's either has an opiate overdose or is in severe withdrawal or other substances. We'll respond to other substances as well. And we respond, I was just looking at our numbers, and our average response time is 44 minutes. I don't know how they do it. Seeing as we took a poll, and none of us have garages, so I don't know how they pull that off with the snow brush and all, but they're used to it. And they respond in and go in and speak to the individual who may or, you know, may or may not be feeling well, most likely not. We just put ourselves out there and ask if they would like any help, and we remove any kind of barriers that we can. For instance, many of these people don't have identification. They've lost their identification or an adequate identification to get them into treatment, or they don't have medical. Their Medicaid has been expired, and they didn't readdress that problem due to their own issues. So sometimes we have to walk them through that entire process from getting an identification to taking them to Jobs and Family Services and seeing if we can reopen their Medicaid. We have a couple providers that will take them without a Medicaid being open, but a number of these people, a large number, need detox, which is going to require, you know, identification and a medical under most circumstances, some sort of medical coverage. So we just literally take over. We walk in, the office staff, particularly at Mercy Regional in Lorain, works so well with us, and that's the success of this entire program, is the staff are on board and willing to let us help. We try to not get underfoot and get in their way, but for the most part, it works great because of the staff involvement. And We just if we can put them in the car and take them somewhere right then, we will. We aren't witches and wizards and magicians. So, and for the most part, a lot of these people come back to Lorain County. So our goal is not to fly you off somewhere and then have you come back, you know, 20, 30 days later and you have no support group here. But for the instance of detox, we do have to take them out of county because, as you're aware, there is no detoxification in Lorain County.
So ultimately, your goal is to make it as easy as it can be for somebody who's going through this type of thing to kind of move on to that next level and get that help?
Absolutely. And the problem with, or from the lens of someone suffering from addiction or any substance abuse, is you feel hopeless and helpless, and you feel like nobody understands. And I've been there myself. I'm in recovery from alcoholism. And, you know, I have family members that are recovering from heroin addiction. You're at a point where they've been brought back and you're in a hospital where do you go from there? And every little pebble in the road to you seems like a mountain. That's through no really fault of the individual. It's the nature of the disease. It just makes you feel hopeless. So that person standing in front of you can say, I've done this. Mm-hmm. I have been there. What is your problem and how can I help you get beyond all those barriers and walk you into detox? We find it much more successful if we take them, if the peer supporter takes them physically to these treatment providers.
I'm sure as somebody who comes from that, that has to be one of the most important things you can have is that person there who says, look, I know it. I'd have to think it's like climbing a mountain and you're sitting at the base when you realize, look, I've got to get better. To have somebody there to say, you can do this. I was a person who did this. It gives them that idea that, look, I can accomplish this task.
Thank you. It gives them that tiny ray of, well, geez, you know, and most of the peer supporters are very, very down to earth and having been through it themselves. And they'll say, you know, if I did this, you can do this. Yeah. Anybody can do this if I made it through. But resoundingly, we get from the patients, clients, whatever you feel to term them, is, you know, if I've tried this before and been unsuccessful, or I've called five places and they didn't take my insurance, or my mom's sick of me and won't drive me, or several are homeless. So we have clothing, we have toiletries set up, we can throw everything in a bag and say, now what do you need? Because now we're in the car, and everything you would need to go into detox is here, or treatment, or recovery housing, or whatever the choice is. Client choice is important. It's hard to decide what is the right thing to do, and somebody that wants recovery will change their mind in 15 minutes about 9 times.
Yeah.
Because you really want to do it. Every time I said I don't ever want to drink again, I won't ever drink again. I promise you. I meant that when I said it.
Yeah.
But the first boundary that hit me, I couldn't do it.
Is that one of the biggest parts, trying to eliminate the excuse for them to kind of backslide and say, oh, well, I was going to do it, but this came up.
Exactly. Yeah. Well put. It's exactly that. I was going to do it, but, you know, I don't have my ID. Or I was going to do it, but my appointment's not for 7 days. And what are you going to do during that 7 days? We all know what you're probably going to have to do during that 7 days. So we respond to any substances. And I think 249 were this year to date were specific to an opiate-related crisis.
Wow.
You know, just that number was related to opiate crisis or opiate withdrawal. Wow. The Mercy staff, I can't say how helpful that they have been. And as an RN or anybody, a first responder, police officer, whatever, it's frustrating. I can see how it would be frustrating. You feel like you're doing your job over and over, and then you honestly sometimes see the same faces over and over. So rather than be a hindrance to them, we just want to be a helpful, you know, let us give it a shot. Let us give it a try, you know.
Very good stuff. Again, Kim Eberle with Let's Get Real joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, when it comes to families, do you guys try and involve the families here and give them support? How involved are the families in this process?
This is like a crisis management project, this and a couple other projects I have. Sometimes the family members are not at the hospital. I've been there myself and said, yeah, you can get there by yourself this time. I'm done. But if they are there, we immediately engage with them as well. They need to be included. We need to say, we're here for you too. Let's Get Real was originally open, and my main mission was to help family and children. And we still do that. Every Tuesday night we have from 6 to 7:30 at Let's Get Real is the family and children's group. Family are in one room. Kids are facilitated in another room. And the children learn things like just the science of addiction on their level, what addiction is and alcoholism is. They learn things like, I didn't cure it. I can't cure it. I didn't cause it. I can't control it. I have to care for myself. I have to communicate my feelings. And for some of these children, they can get all of this off their chest in a safe environment with like peers, mm-hmm. other kids that are going through this with their parents or their grandparents or whatnot. So we always, always engage them. With the permission, we get their phone numbers. So once the person is even in detox and prior to or treatment, we get several calls from them. How, you know, and with the permission of the client, of course, you know, how's it going? Is he going to do okay? What can I do? We try to step that burden off of the family members. And my thing is this. I always say this. Believe it or not, if you step back, as you probably should, mm-hmm. in these early phases of recovery, someone will step up. And I'm proud to say a lot of those that step up is us. Huh. It's the peer supporters and Let's Get Real. We'll step up, but you have to step back. It's really not a healthy situation at all. And as a mom myself and a family member that's gone through this and had other family members go through it, we're not the best people to help. There's too many emotions. It's too raw. They may have hurt us. You know, they may have inflicted this chaos throughout the whole family for a number of, that's hard to get over. Mm-hmm. And now you want me to put you in the car again and take you somewhere again. That's why if you step back, we'll step up and then we'll get you the support you needed. And if those meetings for families and kids aren't at my office, that's fine. We have the list of where you can get them. I don't care. Just go somewhere and get help for yourself. Family members have extremely bad habits and we need as much, if not more help than the person suffering from the addiction or alcoholism, for sure.
We'll let you expand on the success rates here in just a second. But I think before we talk about the success rate, I think the listening audience would like to know, in a situation like this or in situations like these, what is deemed successful? Well, how do you define success in these situations?
Well, you know, you have to play the percentage in numbers. People like percentages and numbers. I would like to say this first. If we show up and we've talked to you and we've talked to the person suffering and we have shoved our card in their hand, they'll call back. A lot of times they'll call back. And would that success be us putting them in a car and driving them right then? It may not be. Mm-hmm. It may not be. But what they have done is put that little pebble in the sand where they know, geez, there are people out there, and I do know who to call. And all of these barriers, they will help me remove. And that will remain with them. And people suffering often talk to other people suffering. So word of mouth helps, too. They want to go where they feel safe, and they feel respected, and they feel not judged. Mm-hmm. And if you can get past that and they know where to go, then that's what they'll do. They will call. Again, we do have some people that have come a couple times, and our success in, again, not numbers, I'll give you those in a second, mm-hmm. but my thought in success is their heart still beating? Yes. I mean, you know, so I would say that that's a success. If you put that in and their hearts are still beating, and if they call 3 days later, we're answering the phone. Mm-hmm. And that's a success in my mind, at least at planting a seed towards some level of recovery. As you know, we're the second state in the entire United States for overdose deaths. Mm-hmm. Only West Virginia has the dubious pleasure of being above Ohio. So we've run rampant.
Wow. Well, and talking about these success rates, you know, talking about what is successful, and you just kind of elaborated on that. What kinds of success rates are we talking about here?
Well, last time we looked, we have about 30.7% of the patients that were involved in this project are either currently engaged in treatment, recovery support, or have been connected to other supports such as mental health services. Some of these people may have been connected with Nord Center, and they need to get detoxed and cleaned up, and then we'll drive them to Nord Center and re-engage with them for some mental health services, which is appropriate. 28.5% of these patients that were involved are either working towards treatment or recovery support. That means we're still jumping over hurdles such as ID, such as they may have failed at the first place and we pick them back up 7 days later and we've driven them somewhere else. I don't think those are bad mm-hmm. statistics for a project of this length and of this volume. And then we have the others that, you know, some of these people, you need to understand, also may have a length of sobriety I mean, quite honestly, with alcoholism, I could be drunk tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hope I'm not, but I could. And
if
I can stay till January, I'll have 14 years. But that doesn't mean the nature of the The nature of the disease is the nature of the disease. So a lot of these people have become have had a length of sobriety and come back and said, you know, help me get back into AA. We don't do that firsthand, mm-hmm. but we'll for sure make sure that they know where the meetings are. We may give them friends of ours that are in Alcoholics Anonymous or another 12-step program that are good on their game and willing to help and reconnect them with just that measure of support. Some of these people like Celebrate Recovery. They like Life Recovery Bible Studies, which we have at our office. There's many pathways to recovery. And some of those people aren't figured into these statistics, so... Yeah, I'm padding. Let's get real on the back.
Well, no, that's all right. That's okay. No, and before we let you go here, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of really explain in depth the mission of Let's Get Real, and also for our listeners out there who may be in this predicament and they may need your services. They also want to give you an opportunity to throw your information out there, how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, our phone number, the office line is 440-963-7042. Let's Get Real is located at the old Drombowski Riddle Funeral Home on Oberlin Avenue. So it's 1939 Oberlin Avenue. When we first started 5 years ago as a nonprofit, I can't believe how we've increased in our services to others. We've served over 700 people year to date with all of our projects. But Mark Riddle, that owned Drombowski Riddle Funeral Home, gave us the building. And a friend of mine in recovery always said, if you just keep doing good work, angels will come. Huh. Angels will come. And we started with literally paper clips and a desk that the library had given me and a computer my friend had. And now we have this giant office building. We hope to return to Vermilion, which is our stomping grounds and who has been so helpful to us since we opened. If I could just find a cheap, small room, I would return one room to do outreach there. We do outreach coordination, meaning you can call that. You don't have to walk into the hospital or any place else. You can just call and ask for help at that number, 963-7042. Say, I'm in need. Family members can call and say, I don't know if he's ready, but I really need to talk. Mm-hmm. We'll just talk and we'll give emotional support. We'll see if you want to go to a meeting. We'll tell you where Al-Anon meetings are, whatever you need from that. So we have outreach coordinators sitting on that line, from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And then we have on Tuesday evenings the Family and Children's Support Group from 6 to 7:30. On Friday evenings, we have an Adult Children of Alcoholics group, which is just a wonderful to handle family dysfunction, if you can handle family dysfunction. I don't know, I still have issues. But and that's at 8 p.m. on Fridays. And then at 6:30, we have a Life Recovery Bible Study, which is it's the entire Old and New Testament, and it refers back to the 12 steps, which the 12 steps of any A program, mm-hmm. NA, CA, A, whatever, are wonderful. Mm-hmm. If you really need to do the steps in your recovery, in my opinion. But I have a music group starting December, like a music therapy, if you will. Huh. And then we have Reiki, which is a massage.
Sure.
You guys probably know more about that than I do.
We've seen it, yes.
We have that starting. And we also are going to have probably just a basic 12-step meeting to go through the steps also. But we have a nice comfy room with a big TV and Netflix. And often when in the middle of the encounter, if you will, before we can find them someplace for detox, they just hang out and we keep them stabilized, if you will.
Sure.
And they just kind of hang out so they're in a safe recovery environment. But we've been blessed. We've been extremely, extremely blessed in the... From the outreach coordinators to the peer supporters are crazy people. I've never seen more dedicated folk in my life. All I do is supervise and yell. They're the ones. they're the ones getting in their car.
That's how Bull
Someone
runs the show.
Somebody has to do it, right? Somebody's got to take charge.
Somebody has to take that fall, right, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but they're the ones that are getting in the car and running and going. And I have seen them go 5 different places locally in county to get them ready to go and still drive them at 8 o'clock that night to get into detox or to recovery housing. The recovery houses, we work collaboratively with any of the recovery housings in Lorain County, Erie County, as well as the treatment providers. We have a real good relationship with finding places. We're blessed enough to have some detoxes, not local because mm-hmm. we don't have one yet, that will literally text me and say, Kim, I got two beds. I have two detox beds today. I got one today. So we know at 8 o'clock in the morning when I get in where we're, you know, where we can call, and we know that there's probably a bed. So I think that's
that what covered we do. A lot of ground.
Oh, yeah, we help you get on Medicaid. We'll get you on the computer, or we'll take you over there. We sell drug tests, which are at-home dip tests for $5. As soon as I get my new shipment, I'm still $100 shy of getting that. Which some people would like to keep their family members in the home, but they're afraid that they're using drugs in there, and they're looking and saying, "Oh, I'm clean today," and they're like, "Well, maybe you should just take this drug test." And it works. So those are about $35 at most places. We sell them for $5.
Wow.
Put them in a nice little discreet brown bag with a pair of gloves and a cup.
Good to have, yeah.
So it looks like you've just been shopping. And that's it. If we can help you, we will help you. If we don't know what we're doing, we'll say, this is over our head. Let's find someone to help you. So... that's about it. That's
all right.
We do.
That covers a lot
that's
of ground.
Stuff.
Absolutely, it covers a lot of ground. Well, Kim, thank you so much for joining us here in studio. And boy, best of luck to you the next couple days, because you told me you're cooking a 30-plus pound turkey in addition to making 9 pies.
Okay, so my husband does the cooking the turkey.
All right, so you're sharing some of that responsibility.
He does all the food. I just put pies out, and people go, ooh, and he's done all the other work.
The new 9 pies, crust or not, I'm still very impressed by it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
Absolutely.
You, guys. Good I'm so stuff. Glad. Thanks That's for inviting fun, me man. Again.
Thank you very much, Kim. Again, Kim Eberle with Let's Get Real joining us here on our Lorain County First Response Series. It's a project of the Lorain County Addis Board, supported through Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Award SP08-0284, First Responders Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act Cooperative Agreement. Let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOR.
Problems, the ones most people say can't be solved. United Way of Greater Lorain County goes looking for them. In unforgiving cities, overlooked townships, and seemingly docile suburbs, United Way of Greater Lorain County fights for the health, education, and finances.